This episode of Rob's Podcast is brought to you by DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership for us DC fans, where you can binge the new original series Titans and jump into part two of the fan favorite animated series Young Justice Outsiders with new episodes every week in July and August. And don't miss their comic library that's now over 20,000 strong, including more recent titles and complete storylines. Sign up now at dcuniverse.com/join. Yeah, that's right. The Summer of Stein. We are back. I am Rob Cisternino, and I'm very excited to talk to my only bro that I would be an Eskimo brother of produce with. Here he is, the great Eric Stein.
Oh, it is good to be back, Rob. The oofometer has been broken so many times since we last spoke. Up and down, from oof to foo, the oof again. Holy cow. And last time that we podcasted, we started off with a very challenging game, and it's getting harder and harder by the week. But I want to play it again. I call it Keep Feeding the Positive. And before we rip this show and this cast to shreds, we are each going to say one nice thing about something to do with Big Brother. Mine is actually only loosely Big Brother adjacent. Okay.
Okay.
I am going to say... And this is, I don't know, it's kind of negative, but positive for me. The New York City events are going to be lit after this season. We are going to have Nick with Nicole and Kemi, with Christy, with Tommy, with Tommy's aunt, Paulie, Glenn Salads, Michelle Marity from Big Brother 4. Oh my goodness, it just the hits keep coming. I mean, it used to just be me and Adam Pock eating a cheeseburger. And now look at all of these dramatic additions. We're going to get to these parties. I just got another 5 years of afterlife in me.
Okay, that's good. Very positive. Very positive. I will say camp comeback is over. Does that count?
Yeah, you see that? Yes, that's a similar positive to me. It's a negative and a positive, yeah. But mostly positive. Yes.
Yes. Less of a chance of some sort of a racially charged incident happening in the house.
That's a step in the right direction. You know, I couldn't have said that the last 3 weeks.
So, okay. All right. So here we are. It's the Summer of Stein, third time out. A lot of people, Eric, have been clamoring, hey, why don't you do the shows on video this summer?
Yeah, I really find this to be quite shocking. I mean, I really do have a face for podcasting, you know, so you would think that listening would be more soothing to people than watching my facial contortions and my eyebrow going up and down and me laughing at my own jokes. I'm very surprised by this feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are dying to see you on video, see what you've been up to. Maybe did you get swole this summer?
I said, yeah, well, I did get a little swollen on my feet. I hit the beach and I think I may have got some of that flesh-eating bacteria. I thought it was a sunburn on the top of my feet, but it did not go away for like 2-3 weeks. That was not good. Oh, and I should mention this. Things have gotten mighty clammy here again in NYC.
Yes, I can imagine.
It has been hot. They don't air condition these subway platforms. I actually had to bring a change of shirt with me to a social event. I mean, I've gone full Summer of Stein again. And I will say this, if we were on video, I would have been forced to, take a filmy cucumber, take it into the restroom with me. It would have been a real mess. So we should probably be grateful that that didn't happen.
Okay. It's very grateful and even undeniable that didn't happen. Okay.
Yeah, it's undeniable you'd be in on some watermelons.
Okay.
They've done the whole spectrum of produce.
Yeah, lots of produce. And we will talk about that later on in this show. So let me just give a note up front. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. And so we have our veto episode coming up on Wednesday. And so in an attempt to try to give this podcast at least one more day of evergreenness until it's totally irrelevant. We don't normally talk about the spoilers, but in this week's episode, we will be talking about the events of the veto and the veto ceremony. So we will need to discuss all that. So if you are somebody who wants to wait until Wednesday night to see what happens in the veto show, then just hit pause right now and come back to Eric and I if you remember after the Wednesday night veto episode. Does that sound fair, Eric?
Absolutely. There is too much good stuff here for us to hold it back. You know, there are certain people whose games they were climbing, and then went right off a cliff. So there's a lot to talk about.
Right off of a cliff.
The cliff of maniacs.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get into talking about the cliff of it all, let me take a moment and thank our presenting sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at DC Universe. This episode of the Summer Stein is brought to you by DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership for us DC fans. Join at DCUniverse.com and get sucked into new original series like Titans, Doom Patrol, and Young Justice Outsiders, the return of the fan favorite animated series with a huge cast of DC's most iconic young superheroes. Catch up on part one and then dive into new episodes of part two every week in July and August, where you can follow these young heroes as they face new challenges in all corners of the DC Universe. Then get your comic book fix and browse through their impressive library of over 20,000 comics. This includes more recent titles and complete storylines like The Man of Steel, Harley Quinn 2016, and the much-anticipated Batman 50. Also available on the platform are tons of classic DC movies that we love, like the original Superman. If animated films are more your speed, join now to watch new releases like Young Justice versus The Fatal Five, much more popular than Grateful or The Six Shooters, and Batman Hush coming soon. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices, so if you were thinking about it before, now's definitely the time. Sign up now at DCUniverse.com/join. All right, so let's talk for the Cliffomaniacs, because there was, Eric, people were low and then high and then maybe low again. Tony Scott wants to know, was Cliff's rise and fall the fastest in BB history?
I mean, do you think you'll be hitting a Robin Akiva Nita podcast, The Rise and Fall of Cliff Hogg, sometime soon on the wheel?
It's possible.
It has been a roller coaster.
I have on good authority that Nick had the fastest rise and fall in BB history.
Ding.
Yeah.
Nicely played, sir.
There you go.
Oh, man. I mean, we even need to go a step back further because it's been a while since we spoke. The Cliff Notes debacle of 2019 was the first full five oofer of the season.
Yeah, you know, I think that happened the day after you and I recorded the last Summer of Stein.
And there you go. And he had just been opining in earlier Cliff Notes whether or not he had gotten shout out on the Summer of Stein and if he had ranked on the oofometer yet. And I'm here to say, Cliff, you have had everything on the spectrum this week, my friend. So you started at five oofs. Then I guess you stayed at five oofs because you got evicted. Then I would say full five foo. Mm-hmm. I mean, that comeback competition, I don't think this is hyperbolic, and I know we have a little recency bias. This had to be one of the biggest ass whoopings in competition history in the entire show. It was so unexpected. When they said there's 3 minutes on the clock, I thought maybe one ball total amongst all of them. And this guy is like, no look passing to himself, one-handed, he's dancing, he's flipping his hat. It was incredible, and I was so happy for him. Maybe I have softened in my old age. But in that moment, I thought to myself, you know what? Now he has his big brother moment. He came back into this game. He whooped butt. Good for him. He's going to get another week out of this happy. And then comes the HOH. And holy cow, he does it again. And now we are setting up for the best week possible. Riding that five food train for several episodes in a row, several days in a row. And that is not easy to do. But then the train started coming at him, just like poor Becky, and smacked him right in the face. And now here we are back again. I don't know if he's gone back to fully five foo, but to oofs, but it's probably about a three oofer and trending in a bad direction.
Yeah. Taylor Allen wants to know how many oofs for Cliff this HOH week.
I don't feel great about it. Yeah. I really don't. It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you're really outnumbered, but I mean, and it's tough. You have the hope of the fan base on your shoulders. He's trying to do what's best for himself in a game for a large sum of money. He doesn't have the same information as us. The fans are clamoring for this. It's kind of a no-win situation, but I'll tell you one thing. This was not it.
This was not
the answer.
Yeah. I will just say that I think it has sort of gone under the rug that Nick's HOH was so bad that had Nick not screwed up his HOH so bad, I feel like that Cliff wouldn't be in as bad of a situation this week.
I think that is fair. And I think there has been just countless mistakes that if we really want to unravel the strategy here, they've all fallen off of the proverbial or literal cliff here. But I think that this is starting to look about as bad as the date that he went on before he was married. You know, this is one big salad to the face, this HOH.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do differently here. Okay. For one, I would have liked to see greater dissension with the original nominations. How about we nominate Jack and Christy? All right. Christy is very likely to melt down. It also forces the six shooters to choose sides. Who are you playing the veto for? Who do you want to stay? Who are you lightly campaigning for? Who are you supporting? Then Christy gets paranoid. Jack says, hey, I thought we were in this together. They start snipping at each other. Maybe you even say, hey, Jack, if you come down, I'm putting Sis up. Christy, if you come down, I'm putting Tommy up, or even vice versa, and drive a wedge in between them.
Okay, well, let me just play devil's advocate here. So then in terms of that, Cliff did put up Jack and Jackson. Is this just like a nitpick in terms of Christy versus Jackson?
It's a higher level strategy that I'm suggesting, because I think Jack and Jackson are sort of a swimming in the same pool, and they have probably similar people who would ultimately break down on their side. I know not identical, but I do think that the reaction to them is kind of similar, and they're kind of treated as one entity in this case. Whereas I think if you're able to identify people who at least just to the blind eye appear to be on different sides of things or might be yanking towards different people's allegiance and loyalty, it might just cause the rift more. The thing is, a lot of what has been discussed on the podcast and the morning updates, you know, on the round table the last couple of days is going off the assumption that this deal that has now been offered to Cliff means anything, but it means absolutely nothing. They will vote him out in a heartbeat. The worst thing you could possibly be in one of these games is the accomplice or lackey to the actual alliance. I hate that position for a player. That's what Kat's doing. Sam was there for a while. They are the worst because they enable the alliance to do what they're doing. Cliff has no chance. I understand. Oh, it's a waiting game. It's a waiting game. Okay, so then he'll be voted out by the four who remain from the alliance. Like, there's nothing to wait for. He is grotesquely outnumbered and outmanned at this point. The only option here is to go fully nuclear, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a good point. I've tried to look at this a lot of different ways, and I guess just not to pile on, then let me just give you the arguments that may be why there could be a silver lining, and then you poke holes in them, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so the way that I've sort of been trying to look at this is we don't know all of the information that this group of six has flaws. And is it possible that they are going to self-destruct, Eric?
I think that they will self-destruct, but certain remnants of them are likely to remain, and they are just likely then to pick up, you know, the Catherines of the world, some or a Jessica, start dragging those type of people instead. I just don't see where Cliff fits into this picture. I mean, look, last week they voted him out, lied to him, saved Nicole. Nicole was in good graces again. Well, Nicole's already not in good graces again. You know, basically the word means essentially nothing. I think what you do, for sure, well, to Derek's point on the podcast this week, either you must have her burn the power so that way she can't ruin another one of your HOHs in an upcoming week, which
I agree with. I thought that Derek made a ton of great points. And, you know, it is so frustrating to have that side of the house be able to get what they want and she doesn't have to use her power.
Right. And I'm going to plant my flag in the least popular, biggest move category. And I'm going to say 100% the correct move is play it exactly as it was played. And then as soon as she does not put the power up, put one of them back up. And I've heard people say, OK, you hedge it. You go with a Catherine. Maybe you go with a Sis. I might just go straight to a Christie or a Tommy. You're fooling yourself, totally deluded, if you think that they have any loyalty to yourself. And then when he becomes the number one target next week, for sure, and I'm not disputing that, right? And then if he has any chops whatsoever, he goes to them next week and says, hey, I'm a 54-year-old man. I'm out on an island by myself. If you think that I'm your biggest threat to winning this game when you outnumber me, you know, 8-1, that's pretty sad. You know, start hitting their egos where it counts and say, listen, you have a much bigger fish to fry. You have Nick, Bella, and Sam all here together. That's a trio of votes. You have, you know, whoever remains of your own alliance who are much stronger players. If you want to obsessively go back after me, fine, you'll get a tit for tat, you'll win the battle, but you're going to lose the war. But if I were you, I would just say, congrats, Cliff, you had a good week, you got one of our numbers out, but guess what? Last year, they got Winston out, they got Rachel out. Did it stop level 6? Absolutely not. So he should just confidently go forward, take one of them out, lessen the numbers, and then try to talk his way out of it next week and hope there are bigger fish to fry. And if not, what was he going to do anyway? He bought himself 2 weeks. They're going to go back on their word, and that's the end of it.
And a place in immortal Big Brother history and probably a return visit for the All-Stars. So I definitely see the argument why that could be a way to go. But if there's one thing that we've seen from this group of people, whether it's the six shooters or Grateful, nothing really brings this group of not so great people together like a common enemy. And is it possible that Cliff doing something like that, even though that they would lose a number from that side, is it possible that that would cement over any cracks that were in this group and give them a united front and a mission going forward of we have to get Cliff out of the house, and where they would have no sort of receptive attitude towards what Cliff might have to say, that they would just be now like doing to Cliff what they did to Nicole a couple of days earlier?
I mean, I think that this is all fair. And I think the actual answer is that there is no particularly favorable outcome here in his game, other than the fact that this kept him around. He was safe this week. He might not have been safe this week. So he kind of had to win HOH. He also didn't know about the power. So what's he supposed to do in that situation? I think that my thought is it probably will solidify them. He probably would be the target. He has to hope that one of Nick or Sam win an HOH or a veto and really shift in his direction. I think that if he doesn't do that, or what exactly happened, he loses a potential number. They get their way. There is, they still have their full entire alliance there to chip away at. And there's only so many weeks to do that with. And then where does it put them? Let's just say they do start cracking, right? And let's just say a couple of them, Jackson gets caught in the crossfire and he goes home and maybe one other, you know, maybe we lose Holly or something like that, right? Where does this actually leave Cliff? It's not like Survivor where you're getting a sliding scale of more money the weeks you go. Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest, if we're looking at this from like the real life standpoint, I would rather get evicted in the next two evictions if I'm Cliff and go home to my family before jury than get evicted the first person after jury and have to sit there for the next
pariah
8 weeks
of the jury house
with these idiots who I hate, and rather than going back to my business and my family, right? So he's also not a goat because he's now won competitions and he's clearly very well liked and beloved. If he's sitting there in the end, he wins for sure, even if one of the Alliance members is there, I think. So no one's dragging him anywhere close to the end. So I guess my question is, where is he really going to go from here? So my thought is his only real shot is to just completely blow up the power structure and hope that it rebuilds in a slightly different configuration. There's a great shot that he goes home as a result of that. But this way, he's just going to kind of limp to the finish line in the way that, you know, unfortunately, we kind of saw, you know, some of our other favorites from this season do. You know, it's just you got to try. The writing is on the wall, right? So you got to at least go for it. Otherwise, you just are an enabler to your own demise, unfortunately. And I'm not saying that this is really through any fault of his. This is very easy for us to say when we're not living our dreams, we're not in the house, we're not playing for the money, and we have a lot more information. It's just tough because I know he's a lover of this game. I think he's a really smart, good, skilled player. And I think in a lot of different groups and settings, he could be killing this. And I just feel like from what I know of Cliff, he might be kicking himself that he just didn't go all in this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So what about something that I was talking about on Sunday night, that I think that Bella is poison in the house. I think that she's a cancer, and I think that no alliance that she is a part of can succeed because that she just leaks way too much information. Is there any upside that there is addition by subtraction, where if Bella is removed as a number, does that open up more options for the bottom feeder side of the house?
I see where you're coming from. I think it's more of an optimistic viewpoint than necessarily realistic
hey,
one.
Hey, Eric, you want a podcast 99 days about Big Brother season?
Right, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so then just to help you
get that's the kind of cognitive dissonance that you need to have to be able to get through a season
sometimes.
I want
you to feel good. So yes, that will definitely help the situation. I mean, the biggest problem is, and kudos to these big alliances. Is, you know, we saw this last year with Scotty and Tyler, and to an extent we saw it with Bailey and Tyler at points. They do a great job of people making them feel like, hey, you're kind of with us. And that's not a bad slot to be. If the pieces fall apart, I get to be on Tyler's team and Tyler's doing well. But the problem is then you're just playing someone else's game. The pieces may never fall apart. You're still at the bottom of their totem pole. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues here with what we saw with Cliff and Christy this week is one of the number one rules of these strategy shows are if someone else offers you a deal, it's a bad deal. The only good deals are the deals that you offer because you are dictating the terms and they are favorable to you. Mm-hmm. This is no deal to Cliff. This is Christie's deal through and through. And, you know, I think he just, I should have pushed back harder. That's all. But yes, okay. So let's imagine Bella goes home. They have now the army of Cliff who cannot play HOH. Nick probably in tears. And Sam, who still thinks he's a part of Undeniable, or he's still coming to grips with it.
I'm eight now.
Yeah.
Now I'm eight.
We call this undateable.
No, that's most of these house guests when they get out of the house are undateable.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if they don't make the jury. You know, what's also frustrating watching something like this is it's one thing to watch a player like Derek run a group like this, or Tyler, or even Paul, right? But we're watching people get the floor mopped by Jackson and Jack. And these are not like your all-time Big Brother greats here. You know, where's the opposition? And it's just all starting to feel like it's too late. I mean, what happened to great players like Raven and Matt Klein's dominating alliances? You know,
and Marlena.
I long for the day that stalwarts like Victoria and Beast Mode Cowboy were taking over. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Good. And Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You saw how she did in that competition on one leg. Yeah. Where's the heart like that?
All right. Daddy Taryn wants to know, after the events of this week, is Cliff still your daddy?
Yeah, Cliff will always be my dad. I say these things out of love. Any super fan would know that they want to hear this stuff. They want to be able to do this deep dive afterwards during our sleepless nights for the next 3 to 6 years when you are trying to reconcile what happened inside of the house. He's going to be happy that we covered him in this detail and that we were honest about it. He doesn't want us to gloss over the moves. I love Cliff, love his family, love their role in this. I love that he got to be HOH and win that challenge and he won the banishment. He has had the full breadth of experiences. But when we say that, I mean, this man has really run the spectrum. No one has had higher highs or lower lows. And it would be really hard to find someone from, you know, kind of blowing up his own game to eviction, to come back to HOH, to the outcome, to probably where his next week goes, who has just had such a wide range of outcomes in such a short period of time. And you know, want to know what? No matter what happens, this man's having the time of his life. I love it. I will have him as my father any day. My biggest disappointment of last week was also my happiest moment of last week. I was fully intending on reaching out to the family and giving my phone number so I could reach out to Cliff and congratulate him and give him some words to the wise in the afterlife. And now it has to wait a few weeks. So I'm looking forward to speaking to him, but I'm glad it's going to have to be a little further down the road.
Well, Eric, that is what you might think, but expect the unexpected in a Big Brother 20. Because as a twist of the season, we do have the opportunity for you to be able to talk to Cliff Hogg here on this very special edition of The Summer of Stein. I know that Cliff had named you as one of his favorite players going into the house. And so in, I guess maybe because Cliff got screwed over by the twist, production has patched Cliff through for this very special opportunity for you to be able to give Cliff some insight into his game moving forward. Eric, are you ready?
Oh, wow. Yes. What an honor.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and patch in this week's HOH, Mr. Cliff Hogg.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here on the podcast. You could call me Cliff Hogg, but I prefer to be going by the name Boss Hogg these days. Eric, Cliff, my man, what is good?
Cliff, you're literally one of my only real ones, ride or dies, unlimited boss, Jason, or Cliff, as it were. You are one of my true loyal players, but I have some bad news for you, Cliff. They say never meet your heroes, and this is a tough week for us to be talking.
Eric, I'm afraid that I am in a real pickle, and I'm not talking about that thing that Jack and Jackson take into the bathroom with each other. I could really use your help in this predicament that I'm in right now.
Well, I don't want to be Captain Obvious, but the main alliance is not camouflaged, Cliff. You need to go after them, my friend. Stop dancing. Dance like no one's watching, even though all of America is. I never want you to stop dancing, but stop dancing for just a second and get your head in the game, boss man.
Eric, I don't know which way to turn. I feel like that there's nothing but bad options for me right now at this point, and I don't see a way out of this situation, this predicament that I'm in.
All right, let's talk through this. What do we know about the cast? How can we help? Could you?
A bunch of great people, right? Are you guys on the outside? Everybody really likes this cast, right?
Cliff, you're talking too loudly, buddy. Check the HOH camera.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I'll try to keep my voice to a lower voice. You know, I don't want to get burned by that again.
Yes. Every beloved season, Cliff. You just keep doing what you're doing, my friend. The good news is that you'll be one of the few with your job still at the end. So I'll see you That's at good. Kevin Schlauber's Thanksgiving. But otherwise, I'll probably see you sooner than that. But it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to it. Bye, Dad.
Hold on a second here, Eric. I made a deal. I made a deal with Christy. She's gonna keep me safe for a couple of more weeks here.
Oh yeah, what's your plan beyond that, Cliff? I have some suggestions. You could crawl into bed with Joe Barber. Give the silent treatment to the HOH. Did you bring your childhood stuffed Whoopi by any chance? Maybe you could share that with Jack.
Hey, Eric, did you see that moon landing that I did? Did that go over well?
That was incredible, Cliff. It was classic throwback Chicken George style entertainment right there, my friends. You just got to keep feeding the positive in there. You got a lot of love on the outside. You have several new members of your family. Also, I do want to let you know something, you know, just in case the house, it's haunted by Caitlin Herman now. So just be careful in there. Okay. There's ghosts.
All right, Eric, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And looking forward to checking in with you after the season. I'll send you a LinkedIn request. Okay.
Oh, I appreciate that, Cliff. And trust me, I've seen plenty of you. There were some shower leaks. Anyway, bye, buddy.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. There you go. Cliff Hogg here on the podcast checking in.
Now, in all sincerity, I do really look forward to, you know, it's as I've gotten older and resigned myself to the fact that I'm not allowed within 500 feet of the Big Brother house, let alone playing again. You know, I don't reach out to as many people as I have in the past, but Cliff will be someone mm-hmm. who I will be calling when this is done. I am really rooting him on in spite of my strategic frustrations. But listen, there's, as everyone has pointed out, there's a lot of people left in the house and a lot of summer to go. So I'm not ruling anything out just yet. And with great strategic talks like that, anything can happen.
So, Eric, let's talk about Jackson, who has gotten a lot of the focus this week. First up, that we need to talk about what went on with Jackson and Jack and the cucumber as described by Jessica in Sunday night's episode. Do we need the play-by-play for how that all went down?
I think that's important, yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go a little bit like scene by scene and talk about what's going on here in terms of the cucumber gate as described to us by Jess in the episode. And it was so rare to hear Jess describe anything to us.
Oh yeah. That was a really big break for her. She's she's on her way to the win.
Yeah, huge break in her game. The edgic is now really going in her favor for
Now, do you think that this
Jessica.
Is something she was actually ranting about in the house? They found it amusing and called her in. It was a way to lightly vilify the guys. Or do you think she barely even knew what they were talking about and they had to prompt her about this whole situation in the DR?
I think they like, probably had to prompt her.
Yeah. It didn't really even seem like she was all that passionate about it.
Yeah, she doesn't strike me as, you guys, I gotta tell you about this thing I just saw.
Yeah, could you imagine? She's actually in there giving, like, full tabloid reports on, like, the hot goss of the house, and we just don't see it ever. Like, she thinks she's doing these, like, great TMZ-style segments from the diary room every time she goes in there, and they just cut them all.
Right. Yeah. That if we had something that was set up like and this is Jess from the diary room and you won't believe what I just saw in the living room.
I'm not a real player. I'm actually just a piece of furniture in the house.
Okay.
Big,
all right.
One of the big twists.
Let's listen in a little bit and then we'll Zapruder film this thing. Okay, so here we go. This is Jack and Jackson from Sunday night's episode. Here's Jess.
With Cliff in power, there are a lot of people running scared. But nothing's as scary as what I saw the other day.
What a transition.
Yeah,
what a transition.
Boy. Masterful segue.
Okay, day 29.
Let me wash that off. There's something sticky on it.
There's always a film on cucumbers.
So Jack is sitting in the living room, and he's chomping on a cucumber. And Eric, I've never seen anybody eat a cucumber like a banana.
Yeah, that was, yeah, let's start at step number one. Number two, have you ever felt compelled, and I am not making any innuendo here, this is a serious question, have you ever felt compelled to wash another man's cucumber? Because I have never seen a friend chowing down on a piece of produce and thought to myself, boy, I'm concerned. This has sort of a film to it. I better take it out of my friend's hand after he's
forget
bitten
friend.
Into it.
If my wife was eating a piece of produce, I would say, "Honey, let me wash it." Maybe like if my kid like had a lollipop and dropped it in the sand on the beach, I might consider it.
Yeah, I might mock them and say, "What is that on your cucumber?" But mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't take it upon myself. In even the most ludicrous scenario, and I can't imagine what this would be. Maybe I'd encourage them to not eat that piece. But by no means would I personally take hold of this mid-bite and decide to go clean it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's problem number one here.
Problem number one. Okay, so Jack's son, Mickey, is going to walk off with Jack's cucumber. And from this video, he makes a beeline towards the bathroom area. He is, Jack holds his hands up in the air, shrugs. Jackson. Then he is eating the said cucumber that he said he needed to go wash as he heads into the lavatory.
Okay, troubling on many levels. Didn't ask to share. It's a double dipping, so to speak, or it at least has a similar outcome to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that if I were to rinse another man's cucumber, that I would bring it to the restroom. Mm-hmm. I would probably bring it to the kitchen. And I also would not bite what I had just deemed toxic moments earlier.
Okay, so here he goes. He goes into the bathroom. I'm not sure if we get any sort of a time lapse here. We cut back to Jessica. And now he walks out of the restroom. Then he holds the cucumber in his mouth as he proceeds to wash his hands, but at no point washes the cucumber.
No, nor have I ever urinated while holding a cucumber. not even. That's not the time for snacking, let alone snacking on someone else's snack. Let alone snacking on someone else's snack that you are concerned about the cleanliness of. It would not be my next move instead of, say, A, cleaning it, but instead making it far more disgustingly germ-filled.
Okay, so we go, he washes his hands. Perhaps the cucumber gets washed at this point. Does that change anything?
It was way too late.
got the cucumber way more dirty on the way to the bathroom, but then washes it, I guess, with soap, then does that change anything, Eric?
Like it rinsed away the previous. Maybe he did use soap. Is that a possibility? They really get a deep clean on it. I wouldn't even be surprised at this point.
Okay, so then he returns.
Also, you know, wouldn't that just to go back a few steps? And I'm assuming that this was just from an earlier time. But in the timeline of the show, isn't he also have not in this situation? Are cucumbers
not yet?
This
was on Sunday night. And so I don't think that it was he was a have not at this point yet.
OK, I would have thought that came after the between HOH and the nomination. So I thought that it's probably a dicey timeline we're working with here.
Very dicey. OK. All right. So Jackson is going to return to the living room and then hand the cucumber back to Jack. He takes a bite out of it in front of Jack.
Yeah, this is print.
And then what does
on fabric?
Well, Jack is talking about something else, and now he goes back to biting the same cucumber. So that he has eaten the cucumber that Jackson, he takes a bite out of the same spot that Jackson just took a bite out of.
All right, so what do you think is actually going on here? Did he clean it with his mouth? He bit off the filmy part. Is this a power move to assert his dominance over him? Are they getting unusually and uncomfortably chummy. Close to one another? I mean, should he go into the refrigerator now and just lick everyone's food before they eat it? I mean, what is the play here, and where do you go from here once you've set this up as a move?
I don't know, and we know that Jack has, you know, a certain set of rules of like he's very upset about what Kemi is doing. But I just think that he's willing to, you know, his friend can do whatever he wants. And if he doesn't like you, then he's going to nitpick every single thing that you're doing.
Imagine Kemi bit his cucumber.
Forget it. Forget it. It would be World War III.
Or imagine if Jackson were to surprise Sam and bite his cucumber. How do you think he might react to that?
Was this a new thing where people are biting my cucumber?
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Why didn't anybody tell me that's happening? And let's just give Jessica the button on this.
Nasty.
There you go.
she's not wrong.
Not wrong. First thing that she's had an accurate read on in the house so far.
The first thing she said the whole season.
Yes. All right. D. Patrick Lopez wants to please have Eric share the best stories involving a large pickle in the bathroom. And technically, this was a cucumber, not a pickle.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Let's not get crass.
Was it a cucumber or was it a zucchini?
I believe it was a cucumber. Yeah. That's where I come down on this. Yeah. I thankfully didn't have too many such encounters in the restroom in the house. Particularly, you wouldn't want it to be filmy. That doesn't sound right at all.
Definitely not. Okay. This is a question from Michelle Mabel wants to know, has any other reality show disrespected fruit and vegetables more than Big Brother? First Gallagher and his mallet, and now Jackson with his hands, Eric.
I mean, would that
what a life you lead here in the Big Brother house.
They really should have tagged that on to the end of the scene. If she just had Gallagher open the door of the diary room, grab the cucumber, smash it, say that, and walk right back in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Nasty. Oh, yeah. Sassy Cassie wants to know, could Gallagher smash a cucumber?
I mean, I don't know. I think the mallet might slip off the filminess, right? Mm-hmm. It depends if it's cleaned or uncleaned.
Yeah. Hayden wanted to know, with the Brussels sprouts freakout last week and the cucumber incident this week, which vegetable or fruit will be the next to make an appearance on Big Brother 21?
Hmm. For some reason, I'm feeling potentially asparagus.
Yeah, does it need to be green?
It does feel that way, right? Those are the most powerful produce, I feel.
Yeah.
I could see a honeydew being involved. Mm-hmm. I actually did use a cantaloupe as an excuse for one of my America's Player tasks.
How so?
When I had to damage another player's property, I had to go into the storage room and get the ketchup and mustard or whatever I used to put it onto the pillowcase. And then there were not that many people in that area of the house. So I was trying to cover up what I was doing in the storage room. So I came out with a full cantaloupe and started eating it. And then when, you know, they were trying to get to the bottom of this later on, it was my alibi. And several people said, no, couldn't have been Eric. I saw him going to town on a cantaloupe. So you see, this has been going, this is tale as old as time in the Big Brother house.
Okay, Eric, Sarah in San Jose has a question for you on this very subject.
Hey, Rob and Eric, this is Sarah in San Jose. I have a very important question regarding Sunday night's episode. If you guys could share a bathroom cucumber with any house guest, past or present, who would it be and why? Stay crushing it, y'all.
Yeah. Okay. Past or present, Eric, is there anybody that you would want to share a cucumber with?
Well, this does seem to be a new move that you use to solidify an alliance in the house, right? If I'm reading this scene correctly.
Yes.
So I think...
Once you're cucumber bros with somebody, there's no turning back.
Right. And you want to do it with someone who's going to appreciate it right along with you, right? Needs to be good TV because this is for sure making the show. This is like, you know, this is going to be the new thing, like how oh, I'm going to do so well in the competition, and then they don't do well in the competition. Now, every season, probably every episode, we're going to get new Cuke brothers. So I think that this is going to be a thing. So I want this to be a memorable moment. So I'm going to go with, I feel like Donnie Thompson would be a nice choice.
Really? Why Donnie?
I feel like I would trust him to take a good bite, and like it would really solidify our bond and then shake on it afterwards. I also feel like I don't really have much of a taste for vegetables. I have the palate of a, you know, 3-year-old. You know, I'd be more apt to bond over some Tyson chicken nuggets that I microwaved than I would a cucumber. And I was thinking Donnie might have a similar palate to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I cringe or, you know, it shivers my timbers, then, you know, Donnie will be there to pick me up because he'll be going through it with me. How about you?
Boy, who would I want to share a cucumber with? I probably want to rule out the people that I think might be most likely to have some sort of a communicable disease.
Your list just got real short. So.
Yeah, I really don't know who I should go with here. This is
I think if I were you, I don't think Nicole will be happy with you sharing a cucumber with any of the ladies of the Big Brother house.
Okay, I think I got it. I'm gonna go with Ovi.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Ovi. Ian Terry?
Yeah, I think he might question our intentions. I will say Glenn has been known to enjoy a movie salad, so he's another option.
Okay, Eric, Terry Porter wanted to know, you need to weigh in on Cucumbergate. Need your valuable insight, Eric. Is it kosher for two dudes to share a cuke?
I see the terminology is coming along. Kosher pickles are actually a very popular.
That's kosher if you share a pickle with another dude, but cuke, probably not.
Yeah, well, right. I guess it depends how you share it, you know, and for what you're using it.
Yeah, the pickle juice, I think, kills off a lot of the film.
Ah, yes. The enemies of Judaism. It kills off, making it more kosher.
Okay.
Yes. It's all coming together.
So,
now.
Eric, another thing that has been quite the hubbub online is that people are up in arms about Jackson, who is a have-not, and is he potentially eating as a have-not? And people want you to weigh in on this, and whether or not Jackson may or may not be eating in that. It seems like that the scam he's pulling is that he is taking food with him into the shower. He really feels very strongly that he can get away with anything in that HOH shower, and then he is doing something in the shower which maybe he shouldn't be doing. Here is a question from one of our listeners, Amy.
Hey, Rob and Eric, this is Amy Van Dyke, longtime listener, first time caller. I have watched all 21 seasons of Big Brother, except OTT, that was crap. I believe as a big rule follower, I think I do really well with actually following the rules, especially when it comes to have-nots. With the recent Twitter hysteria about Jackson sneaking food into the shower, Eric, I'm curious. What would be your ultimate three-course meal that you would smuggle into the Big Brother shower for Jackson? It must include his two favorites, watermelon, preferably cut up by his mommy, and Raisin Bran Crunch. Alternate question, if you could design a custom water bottle for Kenny to leave in the Big Brother refrigerator to troll Jack, what would it say? Thanks, guys. I love all things RHAP. Bye.
Thank you, Amy. All right, Eric. So first, before we get into Jackson specifically, can you talk about the have-not rules of Big Brother?
Yeah. Okay. So I have a lot of things to say about this. One is, the first point is, and I think we all agree on this, put the have-nots to rest. Nobody needs this anymore. It's not 2000. We're not trying to ride the popularity of Survivor Season 1. It's a totally irrelevant part of this game. It simply makes people sluggish and irritable. It's not even covered on the show anymore. It is not entertaining. The show is zero to do with surviving the elements. It's not even covered as a social experiment. It's plainly dated and no longer relevant to the way modern Big Brother is constructed. So that's the first thing. And I don't even care. You know, it's very convenient that the Big Brother fans have hated it for years. And then when there's someone they don't like in the house and they're amused by them going on slop, oh, great, I love have-nots again. You know, it's a very convenient narrative. I then will say nothing is more typical of Big Brother fans than to nitpick someone over eating a grape or whatever it is. Who cares? So that changes how he's playing the game. I mean, boy, what a bunch of sticklers for the rules. I mean, who cares?
No, the fans come out with
Professor here to solve it.
When they don't like somebody, that they really come out with the rule book. I can remember in like Big Brother 16, I forget whose HOH it was, but they said something. They told Zach that they were going to put him on the block before the nomination ceremony. And there's like movements to like signatures of like that this HOH should be invalidated because you're not allowed to tell the nominee that you're going to put them on the block before you put them on the block. So that we really get ticky-tack on some of these infractions when we don't like a person.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. And I will tell you, it's not pleasant. I am a small person in the first place, and I think I lost like something like, I don't know, 11, 12, 13 pounds when I was on slop, and I was only on it once, and it definitely made me a lot more irritable. It's not enjoyable. If a guy is eating 5,000 calories of Raisin Bran Crunch and cucumbers every single day, this has got to be really difficult for him. But why don't they just do it the old fashioned way and give him a cheeseburger in the diary room when the cameras are off? I mean, come on.
Okay. So
I can only speak to a long time ago. We didn't even have the have not room. We only had slop, but we did not have these additional menu items. We didn't have other exemptions. We literally just had coffee, tea, slop, and condiments were the only things that were available to us. Mm-hmm. So the condiments could be used to, like, say, make a barbecue slop or cinnamon slop, but that was all we had. So, anything that they're getting is a concession from the earlier days. But really, I mean, the man has behaved like a despicable jackass for the entire summer. And what we're going to come down on him for is, you know, having a light snack in the shower. If anything, and I know you're someone who really values your time and you have a very busy day. Have you considered combining showering and breakfast now? I mean, you can get a lot more done in there if you double up on things. Now that I know you can eat in the shower, it's great.
Yeah, I never thought about it. You know, in college, I remember people used to advocate for drinking in the shower, to take a beer in the shower with you.
One time I unscrewed the top of the shower, put in Hawaiian punch mix, and when someone turned it on, it dyed their skin red, but that wasn't very nice.
Okay. All right. As close as I came to it. What about the cuisine for Jackson in the shower?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the main course is crab, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, hinting at potentially that there could be some other communicable diseases going around in this Big Brother house. In the same way that Jack and Jackson shared the cucumber, do you feel like sharing some sort of disease or rash that could be contracted, does that bond you to another person in the house? Is that like something that could help your game?
I think it's possible, although for me personally, it would be very challenging because I'm quite allergic to shellfish. So if I potentially had something, that was bonding me to another contestant and that I shared in common with them, or as I like to call it, seafood of the pants in this case, I think that that could actually be a game ender for me. That the next step is anaphylactic shock from there. Okay. So it's probably for the best. But I mean, there probably is some correlation between cleaning your cucumber not very well when you're in the bathroom and then dining on it in the shower and then the rashes. I do feel like this all does go together somewhere. And not for nothing, it's far more salacious than anything I've seen on Love Island, you know? So, yes. Also, I feel kind of inspired by Jackson. I mean, he's like a shower hero. I mean, he's doing all kinds of fun stuff yes. in the shower. My shower's are normally so pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So boring, yeah. So he's really reinventing the wheel when it comes to the shower. Tom Palmer wants to know, is Jackson a good TV character? He's a monster, but does he have Joffrey Baratheon upside in terms of entertainment? I know you don't know who that is, but can you talk about Jackson, the character? Because I kind of feel like that we have two very different things of Jackson, the guy we see on TV, and Jackson, the person that the live feeders have come to know.
No, I don't think he's a good TV character to you.
No, but I think that there's a lot of fodder there for that he could be very interesting. I think that we're getting sort of like a turnaround on Jack. And I do feel like that the show is a lot more interesting when they show us the flaws of these people. I mean, and maybe you don't want to completely bury them and have them be monsters, but I feel like that some of the most interesting TV characters are the people that are very flawed.
Yeah, it's almost more angering, though, in this case, that the way that they're vilifying Jackson is by having him have like bad hygiene with his produce, not by his actual terrible behavior. So I think that's the thing. They're hedging their bets and trying to keep him a little bit in this leading man sort of role. And Jackson and all this wacky stuff is happening around him. He's not very wacky. He is very controlling. He is quite condescending. He is an idiot. I would prefer they went all in on him. You know, maybe let's have a SpongeBob Squarehead segment or something. You know, yeah. I think they could start turning on him in a more comedic way. But right now, I don't think he's bringing any particular entertainment value. In fact, I would actually say their entire alliance is really lacking entertainment value. And I think that's one of the big problems. I think the closest thing to being like a live wire is Christy, but she's more entertaining in the space of like Wamber from BB-8 or Lydia from BB-11 or Vanessa without the strategic chops. You know, she's more of just like a entertaining in a wow, what's she doing sort of way. And I don't think any of the six of them are really delivering in the televised episodes. I mean, yeah,
really,
I don't know.
Grateful is really rough in terms of if you were going to rank Grateful 1 to 8 in terms of TV show characters. Like, yeah, Christy is probably number one with a bullet. Tommy at least gives you big diary room, but
Tommy's about one more live show away from a hi mommy. I'll tell you that much.
But he like whatever they tell him to say in the diary room, like he's going to, deliver his lines. But
right. If anyone is going to be making any beef sauce this year, it's going to be Tommy for sure. He is a game participant for whatever the producers have planned. Yep.
And Bella, I think, you know, has on occasion brought it in the diary room. But if we're going to look at the actual Grateful group, Sam is good in the diary room, or at least is a live wire in the diary room, but that he has no idea what's going on anywhere. And there's not
we might have just, sorry to interrupt, but unearthed the problem of the season.
Yeah.
Who exactly is entertaining? Not Jessica. It's not Nick. It's Bella. We've discussed this in the past. In pro wrestling, they call it the bad heat. There are the bad guys that you want to root against and see their comeuppance. That might be some of Grateful. Bella is the turn off the TV type of reaction. She's the bad type of villain that you are not really wanting to see on your TV. They are just actually angering you to see. Right. Nick is super flat. Holly, they need to bring in some of the safari animal stat to liven her up. This is a bore. I mean, I think Sis, they should be going with a full on, you can't sit with us, Mean Girls edit, but instead she's just off the show entirely.
Yeah.
Nicole seems like a lovely, kind person, which is nice in a house full of people who do not seem that way. But for as much as we all enjoy her, and especially the people that are deep in the feeds do, it's not like she is doing anything all that outrageously fun on the show.
Yeah, it was great when she told off Bella.
Yes, that was absolutely great. But I mean, even from just a DR character standpoint, right? And I was very much on the Kat bandwagon, and she is still one of the more entertaining edited characters. But her in-game actions have soured me on her role in the house. So I'm basically Sam or bust as far as the entertainment factor goes, and that is a bad indictment. And honestly, I would say Cliff is my second most entertaining TV character of the cast.
Now, Kat, I feel like, is the person that a lot of the hopes for the TV show hinges on. Do you feel like that there is any potential that she could end up being able to become being on that Rachel Riley trajectory where she could be entertaining and then potentially have the chips fall her way?
Well, my gut instinct was on her own. There's very, very little chance of this, but she has openly acknowledged that she's there for the followers, for the attention, for the TV time. So maybe, just maybe, the producers will be able to get in her ear and plant the seed that she needs to do a big move at some point. So I would not rule out the possibility that she might try something outrageous. We might get that one glorious week of HOH mayhem. But I think any sort of thoughts of her, like, actually reshuffling the house and taking over and realigning and becoming a strategic mastermind, I think we can let those go already.
Okay. All right, Eric, we got some more questions for you from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. But before we get to the questions, let's just take a moment to remind you about our presenting sponsor. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by DC Universe, your ultimate DC membership. For us DC fans, you can join at DCUniverse.com to dive into Young Justice Outsiders, the return of the fan favorite animated series. Just like we're rooting for the Outsiders in the Big Brother Alliance, once you catch up on part one, start streaming new episodes of part two every week in July and August to watch DC's most iconic young superheroes and other brand new characters discover their unique meta powers and special abilities while they face the threat of meta trafficking and an intergalactic arms race for control of these superpowered youths. Enjoy Young Justice Outsiders as well as other DC original series like Titans and Doom Patrol, over 20,000 comics and tons of animated films and classic DC movies on the Ultimate DC platform, which is available on your favorite devices. Sign up now at DCUniverse.com/join. All right, Eric, we have a lot of other questions for you. And let's take one from Real Potato for Sure. Wants to know, on a scale of one to Victoria, where does Jess fall on the scale of why are they there, house guests?
Yeah, this is tough for me. I have very mixed feelings about these type of castings. And on the one hand, I think to myself, yeah, let's she's doing a horrible job. She's not entertaining. She's not playing. She doesn't know where she's at. She's enabling people we don't want enabled. Then again, much like Victoria, I always felt like Victoria did something right to be the person who was so dumb and so useless to get dragged to the end of the game like that, because you also could have, not for nothing, been, Pow Pow instead that season, you know, like, so I always say, like, is what Jessica doing right? No. Is it rootable? No. Is it entertaining? No. Is she going to be the last person standing of that group? Probably.
Of
the group of people who have no chance to win the game. But yeah. Is she going to be around for the summer? I think she is. So I guess it really depends on what your objective is. You know, she's not there to have a showmance. She's definitely not there to make good television. So I can only conclude that she's there to try to last in the game, and she's gonna last. She's just not going to do anything while she's there. She's not great. I'm sure she's very nice in real life. Very nice does not make a good TV casting. And you know, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I'm not even sure she's the worst in the house. So, oh. You know,
Yeah.
There are a few people for me that are really just sort of, you know, taking up space inside the house. Yes. And I think that, you know, they get exceptions for moronic reasons or people that excuse them, or they can at least envision, oh, well, I get why so-and-so's here. There's no reason for a few people to be there. And, you know, she's just one of a few of them.
Okay. So Mia Price says, since most of the house guests have dogs, will Baby Dino the dog be hosting any competitions this summer?
Well, Baby Dino the dog has been a little under the weather recently. He's only now rounding back into form. So he had to cancel a few appearances, both on the Summer of Stein and the show proper earlier in the summer. But I do have it on good authority that in a couple of weeks, he has been contacted by the Summer of Stein producers, and there is a segment plan. So I don't want to spill the tea too much, but I'm just going to tease that out. We will be seeing Baby Dino, the dog, live and in fluff later on this summer.
Okay. Eric, this is from What Up Tim on Twitter, who wants to ask you, I was rewatching some of Big Brother 8. Eric, do you still sport the nipple rings?
I do not. I don't think I've had them in over a decade.
Can you talk about that decision?
To remove them or to get them,
to get them in the first place?
I would be happy to. So I actually had a tongue ring also prior to being on the show. I also had a cartilage piercing and an inner ear piercing as well, because I am someone who easily gets bored in life, you know,
right.
And some people, you might say, Rob, I'm bored today. I'm going to listen to an audio book. But back when I was in college, I thought to myself, I'm bored today. I'm going to dye my hair yellow and it'll feel like the texture of hay and I'll look like an idiot. But then who cares? It's just hair. I'll dye it back, or I'll go get my nipples pierced because it's not permanent. So why not? I've always been of the life philosophy of have the experience, have the story, mix it up, shake up your life. You'll have the story to tell and then you could always undo it. It's not that big of a deal. So I had been telling
Is that
the
how
Big
Cliff
Brother
should have viewed this HOH?
So you think Cliff should have pierced his nipples this week?
Yes.
Yep. I should have told him that on the phone call earlier. But I told
Believe
the producers.
Believe me, Eric, I thought about it. I thought about it a couple of times in this HOH.
Cliff, Dad, if you want to go again after the season, I'll go with you. I'll get mine redone. We can get them together. Matching cucumber tattoos, and we'll share a cuke and we'll get our nipples pierced together.
Sounds like a date for my cuke partner in crime.
I told the producers easily 24 times in interviews on the applications. Apparently, they thought that I was kidding about this. They thought that this was like part of my shtick that I was leaning in because it was so against what they believed to be my character. And I know I have told this story before, but this leads to one of my crowning moments during my time in the house. We go out to take the cast photo in the pool. At the time, I was in substantially better shape. I would not say that I really had a six pack per se, more like you could see the outline of my rib cage. So it kind of looked like muscles, but it was really just like my skeleton. But nonetheless, I was skinny. So I certainly wasn't upsetting anyone by having my shirt off. So I take my shirt off. We start taking the photos. And then they stop down the photo shoot for a solid 15 minutes while they insist that I go inside, put on a shirt. They insist that the only shirt I own that matches my bathing suit is in fact a polo shirt, make me re-enter the pool wearing a polo shirt. I've never once seen anyone swim in a polo shirt and be covered up during the cast photo because, quote, you're representing America. America's not going to like that, Eric. We thought you were kidding. What the bleep? Go put on a polo shirt and get back out there. And everybody else is so dumbfounded by this as to why I am the only person who has been told to go in and put on dress clothes and get back into the pool. So if you actually go back and find these cast photos, I look very peculiar and out of place in them for this very reason.
Yeah. What was the issue?
I guess they literally were hell bent on giving me like the boy next door edit and did not feel like
you were too sexy, too threatening.
Yes, that's right. The show watchers were not going to get the Alterna Boy edit or the pop punk Stein they were looking for. They just really wanted G Golly Willikers, Eric. You know, they were not looking for nipple piercing Eric on the show.
Okay, Eric, I've got some cameo.com related questions for you. Reality JKE wants to know, please give us your best impression of a Sam Smith cameo message. Okay. It may only be a week or two until Sam Smith of Big Brother 21 appears on our favorite website, cameo.com. Do you think that Sam will be able to clean up on Cameo?
I do not. I do not think he has gotten a lot of currency yet. I think his best bet would be to basically masquerade as the other Sam Smith. That would be my strategy here. Perhaps he should sing some of his hits. But if we're going to do an impression, this definitely falls in your jurisdiction. So you're gonna, I will order it. I just put down my, well, let's be generous. Let's just say $20. And it is my bar mitzvah. So I have asked you to send me some well wishes. What do you got for me?
Eric, mazel tov. I'm so excited for you that you finally became a man. Really? You? Are you kidding me? Yeah, you look like a punk boy. But all right, mazel tov to you. And $18 are coming your way. All right. Stay crushing it.
I drive truck. Yeah, what do you think is like a signature catchphrase will be at the end?
Keep on trucking.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's they not gotten him to say that yet in the entire room.
I don't know. that's a superpower. Okay. Who will be the least popular person on cameo.com after this season, Eric?
Oof. I can't imagine too many sis messages.
what about Jack messages of, I really admire your journey. This is impressive. Don't put your water bottle in the refrigerator.
So much. Yeah. He gives life tips out to people. You know, since I love you so much, I just wanted to tell you, you know, don't celebrate your birthday this year. I can't imagine. I can't imagine Holly being in high demand, but if she gets the wine and the animals involved, then
the animals could be a selling point. That could be a selling point.
Yeah. I mean, Jessica, not feeling that. Nick, oof. This is going to be rough. I don't think anyone's coming at a house like JC Hotcakes at a $55 price point right here.
Okay, well, that's a great segue to Matt on Twitter wants to know, which number will be higher, Nick's cameo fee or Nick's bedtime stamina? Over under $45 for Nick on Cameo.
Well, I think he's going to be really, really excited to get on there. It's going to have been more than 18 days until he had the chance to get on and come on to Cameo. So I think he is going to definitely set a price point and an average video length of approximately $25 and seconds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Eric, do you think that there was some love being shown for the Summer of Stein in this clip on the last week?
Regardless of what happens tonight, friends forever.
Yeah. Was Cliff shouting out the Summer of Stein here?
I think that would be a question for the late, great host of the Wandoff, Casey Kasem.
I don't know.
Does he know the Zach attack?
Did you notice that? Did you know what CD Cliff got in his HOH basket?
I don't. Is it better than when Ronnie got Legally Blonde the musical?
Yeah. And unless I'm being punked here, I believe this was reported on the podcast that I believe a Cliff got a CD from the group LMFAO.
party rocking in the HOH tonight.
Why hasn't he been doing some celebratory shots with everybody?
I don't know. Maybe
it's too bad that Celebrity Big Brother doesn't appear to be coming back, because Red Foo of LMFAO feels right at home in the Big Brother house.
Yes, full of five foo. Okay. Eric, John Tingle wants to know, what Summer of Stein camp badges would you give to the players this season? But, I like to track where Big Brother really pushes the envelope on the names of some of these competitions, or like Get Boned and Pitch a Tent and all of these things. Eric, do you have any merit badges you want to award this season?
Yeah, that is. There were a few interesting choices. I noticed Nailed It was in there. Graphics that were depicting an unsettling scene. I don't know. I mean, I do think that the most on brand for us would be the Feeding the Positive badge, but I don't think too many of the house guests have earned that. Let's see. There could be the Unrequited Love badge for several of the house guests. Nick could earn that with Sis, or Jack for pining after Christy, which I don't think is going to pan out for him. So that could be one we could give out a few of. There could be the indignant asshole badge. But how everyone will give out that.
Yeah.
That'll definitely be the most on the screen for sure.
Okay. And then, Eric, we got an email from one of our listeners, David. Which show is better, Love Island, Total Knockout, or Candy Crush? P.S. My car broke down on the highway while I was listening to the last episode of Summer of Stein.
Yeah, there's definitely some symbolism in that.
Yes.
That seems about right. Honestly, not for nothing, but if we could combine all three, if we get some produce in from Candy Crush, if we could get a, Love Island, it's been very light on drama. I mean, it could probably use a boob shot right about now.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Kevin Hart showing up might help the situation. I mean, my biggest issue is with, I have two big issues with Love Island so far, is that Big Brother, which has a completely different objective and several other things going on in terms of strategy, competitions, nominations, all of these powers. But yet they still have more going on in the love department than Love Island does. And they have sexier, naughtier things going on. No one on Love Island may or may not be pregnant right now. All right. Mm-hmm. Nobody is eating food in the shower.
It's been an underreported story, but I do believe that Baby Watch 2019, I think, is very close to being a thing.
Yeah, we can just hear the announcer come next Sunday. Is Big Brother ready for Lil Sis?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Love Island not delivering on those stories. Where are the fights? How come no one on Love Island has put their water shaker in the fridge?
How many episodes have you watched of Love Island?
I am actually up to date. I thought I was going to drop it off, but I've been watching it while doing work in the mornings, and just kind of had it on in the background. Now, there is one other thing that I am objecting to about Love Island. And let's play a little game as an entry point to this. I'm going to give you two lists of Big Brother contestants. You tell me what the difference between these two lists of contestants are, all right? One, here's the first one. Ian, Vanessa, Amanda, Andy, Johnny Mac, JC, Tyler, myself, Derek, Frankie. Okay, that's okay. List number one. Second list, Julia Nolan, Liz Nolan, Morgan, Corey, Jason Roy, Mark Jansen, Winston Hines. Tell me, what's the difference between these two lists?
I don't know.
Everyone on the second list has had the opportunity to return to another competition reality series, and nobody on the first list has. Winston Hines, Mark Jansen, Jason Roy. Yeah. For the love of God, what is happening in the casting department at CBS? I'm so choked up, I almost just swallowed my tongue. I'm so upset.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Listen, I know that people think that I have, I prefer Winston Churchill to this Winston, right? But it's nothing personal.
He's fine.
I am sure he is a delightful man. He, in fact, has been perfectly tolerable on Love Island. I'm sure he's very pleasant. I'm sure he could be a very nice boyfriend. He is perfectly fine looking. He is a fine person. I have nothing personally wrong with him. I would happily get a beer with him. But
share a cucumber?
Share a cuke with him. But I am also a TV creator and producer. And why would anybody have watched Winston on the show last summer and thought to themselves, boy, you know what's going to really spice up this show? We need to have an explosion of entertainment. Someone who's going to really come in and just go wild. And they're going to bring that high energy. And I've got a name for you guys. And they slide it across the table. And it's Winston.
Yeah.
How do they even know who that is, okay, let alone?
Well, they just were going to bring in any... It was the easiest thing in the world to predict that there was going to be some Big Brother crossover person. I thought they would have waited for somebody from Camp Comeback to get out and then send David to Love Island or something like that. But I think that of the Big Brother 20 cast, I think that he was the one person who was, available and interested in going to Love Island.
Okay, so let's entertain that as a very likely thought process. Do you then think that a single person...
No, but it's like, hey, Big Brother fans, there's a Big Brother person that's going to Love Island.
Well, that might be something if the show was on in that order. If it was like, hey, stay tuned for Winston from last year, which would be perplexing, but okay, maybe I'll keep this on for, an extra 10 minutes or something like that. But
right.
I just... Also, literally no one there had any idea what that was. And also, my last point that's really upsetting about Love Island is that they have a bedtime. That's just driving me nuts. If I was
bedtime,
in the
boat, yeah,
and they told me go to bed at like 11 p.m. because
hey,
we don't want
to... Crew's got to go to bed. Crew's got to... Yeah.
I would not be having that.
Anyway, right.
I hope Winston finds love. I really do.
Yeah. So I think that I don't know the layout of the Love Island villa, but I feel like that it's handheld camera all over the place. And then the only room where they have RoboCam is the bedroom. So it's like lock them in the bedroom after a certain point because the production needs to go to bed.
Do you think that Winston will last until the final episode of Love Island, or do you think that he will be exiting the villa this week?
I have no idea how the eliminations work, so I am not qualified to answer that question.
Okay. He's going to go home.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Eric, so any other thoughts about Big Brother 21 before we sign off for today?
No. Okay. None at all. I'm ready to call it. I enjoyed this week. I really did. I was going to say it's been a slog. And it has been in certain regards, but at least it's coming to life a little bit. At least there's a little dissension. There's some things out of the ordinary. Just seeing anybody outside of the power structure as HOH at least gives some, mixes it up a little bit of hope. So I'm having fun with it. And I think that, I'm now at the place where they're fun to hate at this point. And that is fun also, it's just so long as we don't hate these characters, that's where it starts to lose it for me. So I am still at a place where I am enjoying just watching all the madness unfold. So I'm still with it.
Okay. All right. So that's going to do it for us here on the Summer of Stein. We will hear back from Eric again soon. We got to figure out the scheduling for the next time we're going to get together. Of course, you could follow at Eric Stein tweets on Twitter, and you can send in your questions at any time. Hashtag Summer of Stein, or send us a voicemail, or Summer of Stein at robhasawebsite.com. All right, Eric. Even though it's not how they close out the shows, we are going to give you a little bit of a sneak preview about what is coming up next time on the Summer of Stein. Of course, presented by the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. To find out more about everything we're doing behind the scenes on our Rob as a Podcast Patreon, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Eric, are you ready to bring us home?
Let's sign off, my friend.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Eric Stein is the kind of guy who, when he's bored, is going to go ahead and do all sorts of body piercings, but we'll find out what way he is going to modify his body if the Big Alliance keeps rolling on.
If Rob thinks he can trust me, he's got another thing coming. I told him I was going to clean the film off of his cucumber, and I actually took it to the bathroom with me.
Oh.
Rob, you're in big trouble.
What will happen with Rob's cucumber? And will Cliff be joining us in time for next week's show? Find out next time on The Summer of Stein.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weirdly shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer's time.